in Galatians, the third chapter. I'll be honest with you, every time when I was growing up, we'd come across it. It said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." And I said, "Man, that's kind of strong." And you know what? It was strong. The words that Paul uses here to the Galatians are shockingly strong in a lot of points. And some of the have you ever asked a sarcastic question? No, I know I've never done that. Are you dumb? Are you okay? What's wrong with you? You know, those type of questions. And they're not meant to be really answered. It's just making a point that you're just not thinking well. But I think this is the kind of questions that Paul is asking to the Galatians. I'll tell you a story about on February 10th, 2013, a cruise ship called the Triumph, the Carnival cruise ship, and some of you may remember this, there's a fire that broke out in the engine room, and it knocked out the ship's power. And it literally left the cruise ship drifting in the middle of the Mexican Gulf of Mexico. There were 4,200 passengers that was just stranded on this cruise ship. Now, ordinarily, that might sound pretty good, but there's no power. You couldn't flush the toilets. You couldn't keep cool. You couldn't preserve or even cook the food. And all the perishable food on board was gone. And there were long lines for food and shortages of fresh water, illnesses, and widespread boredom on a cruise ship. Many passengers slept in hallways or outside to escape the odors and the heat. And CNN dubbed the Triumph the cruise ship from hell. Well, it finally went to port 4 days later in Mobile, Alabama, and news crews were riding in helicopters following the ship, and the passengers were all begging for help. Let me on the helicopter. And the ship's loss of power wasn't just a tragedy for the passengers. The Carnival expected lost millions and millions of dollars. They learned their lesson, though, and later that year in June of 2013, the Triumph Carnival cruise ship, set sail again, but it was outfitted with a new emergency power, a whole new system, so that if something was to happen, they would have that emergency power. And they know, Carnival knew, that when the power goes out, the party is over. That's pretty much true. And I think as Christians, we know that too. When we are not connected to our power source, when we are actually trying to turn out our power source, the Holy Spirit, life quickly deteriorates. So the question is, how do we connect to that power source? How do we connect to the Holy Spirit and stay connected? Every once in a while, we'll get a glimpse. Yeah, I hate it when we have those storms and the power comes on for a few seconds. And you say, "Yes, it's back." And then it goes out again. But then you wonder, will it ever come on again? We need to make sure that we're fully plugged in to our power source, the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it's going to give us some answers through these sarcastic questions that Paul asked of the Galatians. And by the way, he's asking those of us also. Six questions. And the first one is in Galatians 3, 1. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has betwixt you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Who has tricked you?" Literally, it means who has given you the evil eye? Who has given you the evil eye? Now, do y'all know what the evil eye is? Didn't your mamas give you the evil eye? Mine still does. Now, most of the time, though, I get that evil eye from my wife. And I know immediately that I need to be quiet. Who has tricked you? Who has hypnotized you? Who has caused you to think something other than you know that is true? Paul says to these Galatians, I showed you that Christ died for your sins, and I showed you that Christ paid the penalty for every wrong that you did, but now you're behaving like you're under a spell. That you're under some kind of a curse, that someone has hypnotized you into believing something that's not true. And by trying to keep a law to pay for your sins, you act like somebody gave you the evil eye and erased your brain. I've run into quite a few folks that I've looked at them and I said, what are you thinking? Who you been listening to? You know better than this. And Paul says, who did this to you? Who has tricked you? And then, just in case their minds were actually erased, he asked a second question. Galatians 3:2. He says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit of God in your life? Now, the obvious answer is that we receive the Holy Spirit by hearing with faith. By hearing the gospel, the good news of Christ, Christ came, died for us, sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary for us. And so we know and we believed, we heard it, we believed it, and we did not try to keep the law. Now what that means is that we're not a holy, you got to do this, 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 and this before you can be saved, that you can receive the Spirit of God. No, that's not what the Bible says. It's not what Paul was teaching. But that's what some they were being fooled into believing. And so what we see here is he's saying, you did not receive the Holy Spirit by following a whole bunch of rules or trying to do it on your own. You received the Spirit of God within you because you asked him to come into your heart and into your life. It had nothing to do with your good behavior or bad behavior. It had nothing to do with keeping any list of rules. It had nothing to do with whether or not you're a good person or a bad person. All it meant was that you asked Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. And that's how we got started in our Christian life. Those of us who are believers, there came a point in time that we just said, Jesus, save me. I can't do this on my own. There are so many people out there that are trying to save themselves. They have been tricked. They have been put under a spell because they don't understand that it is only by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, that we can be saved. Because I can't do enough good things to be saved myself. We began with a simple faith in Christ who loved us and who died for us. It's like getting on an elevator. You say, well, how in the world is that? Well, 150 years ago, elevators were a little more than open platforms with some cables. And if the cable broke, one cable broke, they would fall and come apart and fall, and people would be seriously injured. And so no one before the early, you know, the mid-1800s, would ever put an elevator in a building over six stories high. It's just too risky. And then Elisha Otis. Do y'all recognize the name Otis? You see it every time that you go into an elevator. You'll see Otis elevators. Well, he invented a braking system for the elevators. It ensured safety. And his elevators have been in the industry standard for more than 150 years. His elevators, his braking system, made it possible for the gigantic skyscrapers that we have today. But you know what? I want you to imagine something. You're 150 years ago, and you're sitting there, and you're saying, "What are you talking about? It's safe. You got a braking system." And no one wanted to buy it. They didn't believe it. They didn't trust it. So he concocted a sales pitch at the Crystal Palace Exhibition in 1854. Every hour at this exposition of the World Fair, Otis stepped into his machine and he gave an order to his assistant who cut the rope. Literally, he would be up high and his assistant would cut the rope. And everybody go, and the brake kicked in, and the elevator stopped, and Otis would announce, "All safe, gentlemen, all safe." And with this demonstration, he quickly sold his first three elevators for $300 a piece. And New York City alone has over 70,000 elevators in it today, and everybody rides elevators except for the claustrophobic. Today, we don't think anything about stepping on an elevator, do we? We assume that it's going to be safe. But in 1850, it took great faith. It wasn't enough just to hear about the safety features. Someone had to trust their life with that before someone would trust it. In the same way, your life with the Holy Spirit begins when you put your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus. And when you step onto Him, so to speak, and trust Him not to let you fall, it might be a little scary at first, but you quickly discover that you're safe with Him. So tell me, have you trusted Jesus with your life? And if you haven't, then I trust that you'll by faith start your life with the Spirit. Start your spiritual life with the Spirit of God in you. You see, when you ask Jesus Christ to save your soul, He comes in and He dwells within you. You are literally His tabernacle, His dwelling place. Trust Christ with your life and get started. It's the first step. Nathaniel Hawthorne once described happiness as a butterfly, which when pursued, it is always beyond your grasp. Have you ever tried catching butterflies with your hands? It's not easy to do. There always seems to be a step ahead. It's always a little beyond us. But if you sit down and you sit still quietly, next thing you know, that butterfly is landing on your shoulder. Amazing, isn't it? It's like that with the Spirit of God. It's not seized. He's received. Quit chasing after your own salvation. Quit chasing by doing the good works and trying to measure up. You'll never, ever make it. But simply surrender to Him and let Him find you and choose Him. And if you want God's Holy Spirit within you, then stop trying to chase after Him. Stop working so hard to get Him. Instead, simply receive Him by quietly resting in Christ. And so by faith, begin your life with the Spirit. And then by faith, finish your life with the Spirit. I've got a lot of things in my house that comes with plugs. But none of those things do any good at all unless they're plugged in. They're still mine. The potential's still there. But I can't, unless I plug it into the power source, it doesn't help. It doesn't work. We have to end like we started in trusting Christ in our life. And find full and complete maturity through dependence on Christ. And not following a list of rules. But to actually trust Him with our lives. Verse 3 is another. Verse 3. because it has another two questions. And I'll briefly talk about the first one. Are you so foolish? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? We'll start with that first question. Are you so foolish? Now, another word for foolish here in the Greek would be, are you not understanding? Another way of putting it in Arkansas terms, can't you get this through your thick head? Every one of us has said that to somebody, and probably someone said that to us. Well, a lot of my teachers said that to me. What's wrong? We got a disconnect here. Look, salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. But I got to be good. No. You don't understand. What part do you not get? And when you've accepted Christ and when He's living within you, that does not change. It is still, our life should be connected to His Spirit, our power source, but yet how many times do we try to live our lives under our own power and not His? The Bible asks us. So He's saying, how come you're not getting it? And I can assure you that even after we leave today, there may be someone who walks out and says, well, I'm just not good enough, and not get it. They were having troubles understanding that without Christ, without the Holy Spirit being plugged into their lives, and they're trying to live their lives on their own, they were being foolish. And the Bible asks another question in this very same verse. If we began our life by the Spirit, with the Spirit by faith, are we going to complete it by our own human efforts? Okay, God, You saved me. That's good. Now I'm going to go do my own thing, and I'll live my own life in my own way, and everything will be great because You live within me. No. He says, did you begin your life with the Spirit, and are we going to complete it by our own human efforts? And the obvious answer is no. We end like we started, by faith, depending on the Lord, not ourselves. And if we want to find full and complete maturity as followers of Christ, then we must trust Christ to live His life through us by the Spirit He gave each and every one of us. Now, as you can tell, I'm in great shape. Round, yes, that's the shape I was talking about. Didn't get that way overnight. Y'all are at fault because of potlucks like we're fixing to have. This is the result. Now, here's the thing. I have tried to go to the gym and work out once or twice. I didn't go back. I had good intentions, and I went, and I did all. I hurt the next day. You know what I said the next day? Forget this. I had no one there to say, no, Randy, you're going to do this, and here's what you got to do. It's called a personal trainer. Someone who's going to take you and say, here's the way you're going to get rid of that roundness. And you're going to do legs, you're going to do shoulder, you're going to do all this stomach, you're going to do all this thing, and you're going to do as many, and He's going to have a plan for you to accomplish the goal. Alright? And you trust your personal trainer to get you into the body that you would like to have. And you know what? Little by little, and it doesn't happen, this didn't happen overnight, and the results are not going to happen overnight, but little by little you start to see the results. And then after a while you start to say, yes, I followed your plan. When I go to the weight room, I have no plan except I'm going to see how much I can lift. I'm going to see if I can impress somebody or not. In the same way, God has a sense of direction and development when it comes to our spiritual growth. You know what He's told us in Romans 8:29? He says, you're going to be just like My Son, capital S. You're going to be just like My Son someday. And we say, are you kidding me? There's no way that I can be like Jesus. And just forget that. That's never going to happen. That's a lot years about away from where I'm at right now. But God has promised us in Philippians 1:6, I will complete the work I began in you. And all we need to do is trust our coach and obey our coach. When he says lift this, lift it. When he says go here, go there. When he says trust me, we trust him. And trust the Holy Spirit as he leads us through life. Be connected to the Spirit of God. He's got some tough workouts planned for us. And there are going to be some days when we hurt. But we can trust our coach because he really does know what he's doing. He's working to make us more and more to be like Jesus Christ. And one day we will, in fact, be as beautiful and wonderful as he is. Trust the Lord to complete his work in you and finish your spiritual journey the way you started it, by faith. And by faith, start your life with the Spirit. By faith, finish your life with the Spirit. And by faith, continue your life with the Spirit as well. Continue your life with the Spirit. Live right now, every day, in dependence upon the Lord. Trust Him to help you grow each and every day through the times of even through the times of suffering and heartache. Verse 4 gives us a fifth question to worry about, to think about. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? What's he talking about? In vain. Pointless. How many times, over and over again, I have seen people who are trying to get their lives together, and they want to start their lives right. They want to get right with God, and they want to get right with man, and they want to get, they want to put their past behind them. And so they start out doing right, and then they work and they work and work, and they suffer things, and then they just say, well, it hurts. I quit. I stop. He's saying, did you suffer in vain? All these things to get to a point to where it'd be like me getting to the point where I'm starting to get some abs and I said, forget this. And I start forgetting all the training. I give up. It hurts too much. And what's really sad is when the sad times come, when the problem times come, what you see is they get to a certain point and then they say, and then they, instead of turning to their power source who got them there in the first place, they unplug the plug and they decide they're going to go back to their old way of life, their old way of doing things, and try to fix things on their own, and it does not work. And so we look back and say, all that suffering, all those things you went through to get to where you're at, was it in vain? Did you suffer in vain? You see, when we live a life of faith, sometimes we suffer for it. Sometimes our old friends don't appreciate the new changes that are taking place in our lives. Sometimes people get jealous and they begin to make life difficult for us, or they try to get us back to our old ways. And that's what's happening to these Galatian believers. When they came to faith in Christ, some of the Jewish religious leaders saw that they were drawing more crowds, and they began to say, well, we've got to make this difficult for them. They mistreated the new Galatian believers, lying about them, sometimes even throwing stones at them. Paul had to remind them in Acts 14, through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. And now Paul asked them, did you suffer so many things in vain just to give up? Don't stop trusting the Lord, even in the pain. Keep on living your life by faith in Christ. Otherwise, all the suffering, all the stuff you go through could become a waste. There's a reason for the pain. You've heard the phrase, no pain, no gain. There's a reason for it. Pastor went to see an apple orchard. And he couldn't help but notice that there's a huge harvest of apples. The branches were hanging heavy and some were cracking with the weight of abundance. And never in many years had anyone seen such a harvest. So when he asked why, the owner told him that the previous year there was a late frost and in the spring and all the buds froze and there were thousands of little bumps or nodules all over the thing, but they're called seins. And all that energy pulsated through the network of seins and until the spring of the following year. And then when that spring hit, bam, they were all over the place. It unleashed all the energy that had been stored up in that plant. And all of a sudden, it was just overflowing with apples. And that's the way it is with life in the spirit. Sometimes a harsh frost comes along in life. Maybe it's a diagnosis of cancer, a death of someone you love, or some crisis. And then your heart freezes. And that's not the time to stop trusting Christ, whose spirit dwells, continues to dwell within you. Rather, that's the time to depend on Christ even more than his spirit pulsates, even though you can't see it, it's there. He's saying, I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to show the world that I live within you. And we become more fruitful. My dear believing friends, do not let discouragement stop you from depending upon Christ. Because God only knows that the fruit that will come from your continued reliance upon Him. There are reasons why we go through things in life. Reasons for the frost, reasons for the heartaches, reasons for the things. Because God sees what's beyond the tragedies and the heartaches. He's going to use it. God knows what fruit will come when you continue to keep Him plugged into your life. Keep on believing even through times of pain, because God abundantly supplies His Spirit to those who believe. Let's look at our last verse, Galatians 3:5. Therefore, He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does He do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? This is the sixth question. Does the Spirit come by law or by faith? If I tell you that if you just come to church, everything will be okay, would I be telling you the truth? I would not be. But if I told you that you needed to have a close relationship with God, would that be coming closer to what you need to hear? Now, I'll suggest to you that both things are good and need to be done. But there's no list of rules. There's no steps. Do you want to have the Holy Spirit lead you with it? You need to do this, 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 and this, and you need to clean up all the stuff in your life. No. That's what Paul's preaching against. The answer is obvious. By hearing with faith, not by works of the law. When we hear the gospel and believe it, God supplies us with His Holy Spirit. And He is not stingy with His Spirit. The Greek word there for supplies actually means to give generously and extravagantly. It is kind of like the Bible. As a matter of fact, in Bible days, they used to use this word to someone who would pay for an entire course to provide background music in a play. In other words, it would be kind of like if we had a full-scale orchestra coming in at our 40th year reunion instead of a DJ. That's extravagant. That's over the top. But that's the way God supplies us. He supplies us with His Spirit extravagantly. On the advice of Dr. Alexander Graham Bell, anybody know who Dr. Graham Bell did for us? Now, he's the one that created our telephones. Which led to your cell phones, so you can thank him for everything when it comes to your phone. Well, the parents of Helen Keller, do y'all remember who Helen Keller is? Yeah. Helen Keller's sent for a teacher from the Perkins Institute for the Blind, and she's blind, deaf, dumb. I mean, there's no way for her to communicate. Ann Sullivan was a 19-year-old orphan, was chosen for the task of instructing the 6-year-old Helen. Now, this is an impossible task. She couldn't see, she couldn't hear. All that she really could do was touch. But she was going to teach her, who was deaf and blind, and it was beginning of a close and lifelong friendship between them. She actually used a manual alphabet and wrote the alphabet on her hand. And she learned the alphabet that way. She could write words such as doll or puppy. 2 years later, she was reading and writing Braille fluently. 10, she learned different sounds by placing her fingers on the vocal cords of whoever she was talking to. And she began to travel the world. Her and Anne would travel the world, and she'd give speeches, and Anne would probably end up having to translate it for her. For nearly 50 years, this companionship continued. Anne died in 1936, and this is what Helen Keller wrote about her life, her lifelong friend. "My teacher is so near to me that I scarcely think of myself apart from her. I feel that her being is inseparable from my own being, and that the footsteps of my life are in hers, and all the best of me belongs to her. There is not a talent or an inspiration or a joy in me that has not been awakened by her loving touch." That's how God supplies His Holy Spirit to those who believe. That's the companionship. That is the point. That is how close we're supposed to be. That is the power that we have within us. He doesn't just supply a spirit for a lesson or two. He doesn't just come and say, "I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you some things," and then He withdraws. No, He is with us constantly. He wants to be a lifelong companion to. But there's so many people say, "I'm a saved child of God. I know you're in there, but I don't want you to have a thing to do with my life," and that's a mistake. Going through your life on your own, without God's guidance? Well, try it. See where you end, how it ends up. See if you can do the things and lead your own life the way the Spirit of God can. He supplies His Spirit as a lifelong companion and close friend. One who walks with us through every step of our journey. Folks, there's too many of saved believers today who, the minute something bad happens in their lives, they forget about the Spirit of God which dwells within them, and they run to the things of this world thinking that they'll save themselves, and they can't. Don't be one of those. Let me go back over some of these questions. Who tricked you? Who's led you to believe that you don't need church, you don't need God, you don't need the Spirit of God, you just need yourself and your friends in this life? Who's told you that? Who has tricked you into believing that? You know better. How did you receive the Spirit of God in the first place? Was it through your friends, or did you receive it by faith through God? Was it something because that you just, you know... No, you received it because you ask. You started with it. Hopefully you'll end with it, and you'll continue with it. Are you being perfected by the flesh? In other words, are you getting better? Is living without the Spirit guiding you? Is your life getting better, or is it getting worse? Are you getting closer where God wants you to be by being plugged into the world or being plugged into the power source of the Holy Spirit? Did you suffer in vain? All those things in life that got you to the point of having a relationship with God and living a life that's pleasing to God, and you just throw them all away, it was all that in vain? Does the Spirit come by law or faith? It's by faith. And we need the Spirit in our lives to guide us and direct us. Quit coming unplugged to the Spirit of God. Because ultimately it's the Spirit of God that's going to give us the freedom in this life to live our lives in the way that God wants us to. This morning, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I barely know mine. But God does. And He knows what I need. And when I go about trying to live my life in my way, and under my standards, and under my power, I fail miserably. It's only when that I get connected to the Holy Spirit, when I trust in Him with my life, is when I can feel confident that my life is going exactly the way God wants it to be. And I can trust Him with the outcomes of that, even through the storms of life. Maybe you're here today and you don't understand about the Spirit of God because you've never experienced the Spirit of God. You never asked Him into your heart and your life. You know, you're living your life under your own power, never understanding the power and the freedom which asking Him into your life can bring. And so this morning, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, you've never truly had a relationship with Him as a Father, Son, and you inherited everlasting life from Him. And if you don't know at this point in time in your life, if you were to die, if you were to go to heaven, or if you'd be with you or go to hell, if you don't know that, then either someone's tricked you or you've never asked Him into your life. So this morning, don't believe what the world says, but believe what God says. And whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life. Not, I've got to get my life together and I've done all kinds of bad things, and when I do that, no, that's not the way. Right now is the time. Because I believe the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart and your life. If you don't know Christ, He's talking to you right now. Saved child of God, you have the power of God Himself that lives within you. And yet we choose to unplug and do our own thing. Ask the question, the answer, you're so foolish. And the answer is yes. Quit being foolish. Get your life together with Christ through His Holy Spirit, through His power. As we stand in prayer of an invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, I don't know, you know, what's going on with you and God, but I do know some things that He does want. If you're not here, if you're here and you've never ask Him into your life, you've never accepted Him as your personal Savior, He's going to ask you to do that today in your heart. If you are a saved child of God and you've been unplugged for a while, He's going to put the screws on you. He's going to say, come on, you're not doing so well. You need to live your life with a spirit controlled life. Now, are there any others? Yeah, there are some that need to make decisions in life. And I ask today that, you know, God knows what those decisions are. Maybe you need to get your life together. This is the chance for you to do that. So as we sing this morning, I'm going to let God speak to your heart. I'm not going to sit here and beg you. I'll let God's Word touch your heart and make decisions that you need to make as we sing.
Number 558. 558.